On today's show, we are previewing the Cavs 2022-2023 season, set a group that, of course, is headlined by Jared Allen. I want to thank you again for making Locked On Cavs your first listen every day. Remember, we are free and available wherever you get your podcasts.
You are Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast.
Today's episode is brought to you by LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs help you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNBA. The music you heard on the way in is from our friends at Astro Radio. I'm Chris Manning, covering the Cavs and the NBA large for places like Diamond Up Rocks and SB Nation's Fear of the Sword. That man over there in the orange, if you're watching on YouTube, in the Nike ball cap is Evan Damerel. He's got the elf on. This is a Pro Elf podcast. Evan, you ready to talk about some centers?
Heck yeah, I am, man. In the football sense, I mean, it's a very undervalued position, but in basketball, it's an interesting thought process because center really, the big man spot has evolved quite a bit, and the Cavs have a fairly interesting rotation of bigs on the roster at the end of the day. Like, a lot of them are multifaceted, and two of them provide you a lot of rim protection, but like they do bring a lot of unique aspects to the table on offense.
Let's start this off with Jared Allen. Segment two, we'll talk about Robin Lopez. In segment three, we're going to talk about Evan Mobley as a five in that specific context. What worked last year? What didn't? What kind of looks we could see? All of that stuff. But to start with Jared Allen, because he's the starting center, he was an all-star last year. He is one of the core four of this team, so to speak. Evan, in thinking about this, I think the only thing I can really feel like I need to say about Allen is that I don't think he needs to be more than he was last year. If you look at this team, you're looking at Donovan Mitchell, who they're going to ask you to do more scoring and do more things they needed last year. You're going to look at Evan Mobley and you're going to look and say, okay, what more can he do in year two? You're going to look at Isaac Okoro and say, can he be more and blah, blah, blah. We're going to yada, yada all these different guys. Hit on all these different things. And what more can they do? Allen can just be himself. Jared Allen can just be Jared Allen, and he's going to be really good and really effective in that capacity.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, yes, Jared Allen is one of the older players of this core four for the Cavs, with Donovan Mitchell being the oldest and Jared Allen kind of being the elder statesman just in terms of overall experience before Donovan Mitchell came in. So a lot of people do think that maybe, hey, his game is kind of plateaued, it's maximized, but there's ways he could improve things. I mean, I don't think efficiency-wise he can really change much, but at his core, Jared Allen is a rim-running big man who is lethal in pick-and-roll as a roll man, and he is going to give you a ton of rebounding, and he's going to give you really, really, really good rim protection as well. And, if that's all the Cavs get out of him, that's phenomenal because he's also not, a big, bulky, plotting center either. The way they're paying him, at least, people used to point at the Richaun Holmes contract, and I think Jared Allen is just clearly better than Richaun Holmes, but Jared Allen is just interesting contract-wise because he slots into what the Cavs are building, but he just, he doesn't need to improve much, but there's still spots he can improve at as a player overall just because it's just natural to assume he's going to grow and develop further as he hits his prime.
The thing about Allen, though, and where I disagree is that I don't think I don't know what he's going to do. The development I think you wanted to see from him was the post-up stuff that happened last year. Now, we need to see if it's real. Let's see if that's real in year two. Let's see if
That's one of the things I was going to get at is just the post-up stuff, post-game stuff. But continue.
If that's real and that becomes just a thing, that's just okay, great. I don't know what else you really are going to expect to do. Maybe it's a little more comfortable in DHOs. I don't think the three-point shooting is ever going to be a thing, and he's very, very effective. If you look at just what, analytics love Jared Allen, he was 12th in dunks and threes estimated plus-minus last year in the entire NBA, not among centers, not among bigs, among all players in the NBA, and it was a large gap between him and some of the elite guys in that category, but that's 12th is a testament to how good and efficient and effective in his role he was. I think, Evan, it's just, I think the stuff that you could hint at him being better at, I think particularly in offense, I think Evan Mobley's likely just to do that stuff. I don't think there's a need for Evan Mobley to leap. In a way, there's a need for Donovan Mitchell to do stuff. And in the way even that there's a need for Darius Garland to maybe hit another level to some degree. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's like a need for Jared Allen to hit another level. I think if Jared Allen is Jared Allen, like you're pretty fine with that.
No, Chris, you and I agree on that. Like, okay. I wholeheartedly agree on that. Like, I don't think the Cavs need more out of Jared Allen. Like, yes, there's small things. Like I said, like it's going to be hard for him to improve how hyper-efficient he is because the volume of takes he gets are primarily at the basket, and he is the recipient of Darius Garland and now Donovan Mitchell and eventually Ricky Rubio passes just in the pick and roll, lobs, cuts, you name it. But there could be small developments and wrinkles and quirks. Like you mentioned the post game. Let's see if that's a real thing. Jared Allen has kind of mentioned to folks during training camp that like he, over time, at least wants to become a little bit more comfortable using like just being a player who can kind of create shot opportunities for guys on the perimeter where like if he's posting up, he's more comfortable kicking it back out to getting to like Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, who's floating out there because defenses collapse on him. Like there's small stuff like that where like you could see a slight uptick in assists because he's just playing with more 3-point shooters, or maybe he just becomes a more hyper efficient player at the rim, or like, you know, at times we saw last season him switching out onto the perimeter times and kind of defending up opposition when opposing teams force a switch. Like if he's more comfortable in his own feet doing that, his own skin doing that, like those are the small things. Like they aren't going to be the bread and butter of his game, but like it's small stuff that he can kind of round out the core of his core foundation to kind of just, we then have like a clear image of like, yes, we know what Jared Allen is X, Y, and Z, but like there's some ABC stuff sprinkled in there too. And it's just going to be small little things. And I just think, yeah, we're in agreement that like the Cavs don't need that from him, but there is going to be a natural growth and progression from him still. And it is interesting to think about just what Jared Allen is and maybe what more he can add to his game when he's pretty complete just for what he is as a player right now and for what the Cavs need from him as a player.
Yeah, I think the ABC stuff, I think particularly the switching on defense, and I think the amount of posting up we saw, I would be pretty optimistic if that's real. Like, it was interesting that he said that at Media Day, that was, like, a thing. He got asked the Media Day question of, what did you work on this summer? And it's, like, it was, like, the stuff that he did better last year. And I think it will be curious to see, more than anything else, when I think about his season, is just, like, can he avoid the injury stuff? Like, we can, like, the post-up stuff is fine. All that stuff is going to matter. I think like his availability just ultimately ends up becoming like the thing that maybe matters more than any of this. Like this stuff all is going to matter. The season just took a dive for the Cavs last year when he gets hurt. They are not the same team. Mobley was not quite ready to just handle all that defensive burden on its own. We'll get into like the bad Moses Brown numbers. Moses Brown was not an effective replacement, particularly on the defensive end of the floor. If Jared Allen is just like able to not miss, you know, he played 56 out of 82 games last year. If that doesn't happen again, he plays 75. You're like that. I think your JB Bickerstaff is like, great, that's fine. You're good with that.
Yeah, you can't control health to an extent. Like I think so. Like what happened to Allen is a freak injury, the broken finger and stuff. But being available, like it's something Kevin Love harps on a lot with like just him being available for every game last season other than having COVID, like he wasn't out due to injury. Like that's going to be huge for the Cavs because you're absolutely right. That the Cavs took a pretty considerable nosedive because they are a defensive first team and Jared Allen really is the back line of the back line of the defense because when you kind of force Evan Mobley into that role where he's the only one protecting the rim, like he did look overwhelmed and flustered at times, and that's natural for a guy who's fresh out of college and is trying to learn how to play NBA level basketball. And I think having Jared Allen a little bit as that safety blanket for just him and the Cavs in general just made this defense truly elite. And I don't know, man. I feel comfortable in saying the Cavs will probably be a top defensive team this upcoming season. But your point is an interesting one. Like, if Allen is more available, I wonder how high this team can reach just in terms of defensive metrics. Like, there could be a new level they hit just with like how Evan Mobley's going to have like probably a pretty crazy year two leap.
And I would suspect, based on the roster, based on what they said and what Jared Allen said, I think they're going to ask a lot of him, and they're going to ask a lot of Evan Mobley defensively, just based on their scheme. Yeah. Like it's going to be, I think, they're going to get the kitchen sink thrown at them in a lot of ways. And how, I mean, Allen, it's tough to see just because of who plays center. Like, you look at Embiid, you look at Bam, like, you look at the center, all deep. Yeah. Well, like, well, to make all defense for Allen, it's like a hard path to get there, but like I think it's like possible, just the volume you could throw at him and all that stuff. It's like very in line that he could have like a fringe all defense season. He's not gonna again hit, I think, the Bam and the Embiid levels just quite, but especially because like Mobley's gonna do some stuff as well and probably will end up being the better all defensive candidate if I were to guess, but he's really good. And just a reminder, the Cavs starting lineup that they used, tried to use most often last year, Garland, Okoro, Market, and Mobley Allen, plus 10 per 100 possessions, scored 116, gave up 106.6. The template of Garland plus those two guys, again, it'll change this year. Maybe Okoro starts again, but Mitchell's in there. Like, there's a lot of expectation, I think, that he's part of really effective lineups. And on that, we're going to go into our first break. Going to come back, talk about Robin Lopez, who wore Dame Time shoes to media day, which I quite enjoyed him wearing Dame Time Adidas that are from definitely a couple years old. But first, going to tell everyone about our friends at LinkedIn. Now, graphic. These days, every new hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why we have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps find the right people for your team faster and for free. Then all you have to do is add the job and the purple hiring frame, hashtag hiring frame, to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring. It's really easy to do and helps you find the right person for your business. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus in on the candidates with just the right skills and experience. You can quickly prioritize who you would like to interview and hire. Businesses are trying to finish the year strong, make their teams better, and find the right person for your team is key to that. We just did this at Lockdown. We brought in Jake Stevens, the king of all kings, and our team is better as a result. You can do that too with LinkedIn Jobs. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidate you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedInNBA. That's LinkedIn.com/LockedInNBA to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Okay, we're back. Chris Manning, Evan Damrell. Let's talk about Robin Lopez, Evan. Are you ready for the math to talk about the mascot killer?
Yeah, at the top, him acknowledging the fact that he's putting the ball in Moondog's court to reach out and settle this difference between them, like, it is pretty funny. And then him breaking down the mascots he truly hates, saying that the Toronto Raptor is one of the most arrogant mascots he's ever experienced. And then Benny the Bull being like a toxic ex is really funny to me. But as a player, like...
Just a little more mascot talk. Two things.
Okay, a little more mascot talk.
Did you see the boardroom report about how much the Nuggets mascot makes? And do you think Robin Lopez has feelings about that? Because I suspect he does.
I more so have feelings that the Nuggets mascot makes more money than Diana Taurasi and Breonna Stewart combined, which is...
Not great.
Which is more an indictment on how the NBA or WNBA needs to act properly pay their players in general. But, you know, whatever. What do I know? I mean... Whatever. I'm going to get a little heated. I got heated seeing that. So I was just like, what the heck? It's not great, but...
Secondly, think it would be a mistake-free idea? I think you got to get Robin Lopez involved in the hot dog race at a Guardians game and have him, like, club ketchup over the head.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I mean, like, that's how Mustard gets his first win of the season.
Well, no, Mustard won this weekend.
Oh, did he?
He won this weekend, and they showed him on the broadcast walking around with his championship belt and, like, yelling at people in the crowd. It was great. But I want more of it. I want Robin Lopez to be, like, his, like, wrestling manager. That's what I'm aiming for. Anyway,
The player. Robin Lopez, the person as well. I think it's funny that he said he's been to Cedar Point several times since signing Cleveland. Like, I'm like, this guy is so cool.
He's just, like, he's just a normal dude. Did you think, I... The Chris like Heron
and Jared, him and yeah. Jared Allen were like debating the best episodes of The Twilight Zone in the locker room, like during in between training camp practices. I'm just like, yeah, you are a normal person in a big person's body.
7 foot tall, 245-ish pounds. So throw some numbers at you. Last year, Moses Brown at center in 329 possessions. The Cavs were outscored by 15.5 points per 100 in those minutes. The most common used lineup in that stretch, Garland, LeVert, Okoro, Larry Markin, and Moses Brown. Minus 18.6 in 126 possessions. Look, it's not good.
But Chris, our listeners were banging on their desk trying to tell us Moses Brown was the difference maker. And the Cavs should keep him. I mean, he was fine, but like he's also just like not like the huge defensive. Again, there is a drop off when Jared Allen was sidelined, and you're asking Moses Brown to be like your rim protector when Evan Mobley was out too.
Yes, and you're not. And like to be clear, Robin Lopez is not. If like Jared Allen misses a week with a twisted ankle, Robin Lopez is not going to step in and provide what Jared Allen does. He's a very different player in terms of like how he plays and in like what he does offensively in particular, but. Last year with the Magic were, he was minus, his, the lineups with him were outscored by 7.5 per 100 possessions. By comparison, the Magic as a team were outscored by 8.5 per 100 overall and were really bad. Like, the Magic were obviously stunk last year. That's how they ended up getting Paolo Banchero in the lottery this year. I think, Evan, if Lopez is just, like, solid and fine and plays when you need him, that's all you need, and I think like that makes it a win. And again, I think it's very clear and intentional that the Cavs were like, let's get the veteran available who's big and not run it back with Moses Brown or pick another developmental, kind of more lob-thready center. They went a very specific flavor in getting Robin Lopez.
They went a very specific flavor, and you look at the Davis signing last year, that's kind of the same vein Robin Lopez will fill. Maybe a little bit more gas in the tank, a little more mileage, tread on those tires for Robin Lopez compared to Ed Davis, just of where they're at in players. And to Chris's point, yes, let's say Jared Allen is out for a couple games because of an injury or something, and you ask Robin Lopez to step in, you're not going to get the same production. Of course not. But I think you're going to get something that's maybe just a step or two above what Ed Davis gave the Cavs. And Ed Davis did play well at times for the Cavs in spot starts or just in random rotation minutes where the Cavs kind of had a lead on him. But I think it's just clear that like Ed Davis is a smaller center too. Robin Lopez is just a lot more rounded out as a big body in general as well. And the guy we're going to talk about in the third segment, I also just think like, hey, the Cavs clearly needed to get a backup center that had provided you some quality depth, but it wasn't a huge priority for them this offseason, clearly. And I think a lot of it just indicates like, yeah, Evan Mobley is probably going to be asked to play a lot more if something happened to Allen, but having some more higher-esque quality depth behind Mobley and Allen just as like a center and Robin Lopez makes sense. And like you said, the Magic weren't very good last season, and Robin Lopez is more of like a good vibes locker room guy. Says all the right things about the Cavs and how they're just like a team he's always admired, and like just the culture that they've been building he wanted to be part of. But yeah, it'll be fun. Like, I think the sound bites he will provide as a player when he does talk to the media will always be fun for me, but I think just what he provides, I'm just like, yeah, he makes sense as a very cheap, effective option behind Mobley and Allen, and he is an improvement over Ed Davis and Moses Brown. And also Isaiah Mobley's just not quite ready to play at the NBA level.
Yeah, Mobley's like, you're betting on that being like a year from now that he can take over this role. The other thing about this, I'm curious to see like if they deploy Lopez based on who they're playing, right? Like if they're playing Philly and they need bigger bodies for Embiid.
We talked about this.
Yeah, but just in case people haven't listened to those episodes.
I know.
If they're playing, you know, Minnesota, or they're playing Philly, or they're playing, you know, some of these teams, and these don't, like, they're like Toronto would be, I think, would be like a tough matchup for him, but
Milwaukee,
you know,
too.
But like Milwaukee has at least, like, they could play. Well, he might have to step out of it. Like, there's at least, there's some girth in some of these teams that he could perhaps help with, right? Like, in particular, I think, like, Philly just strikes me as the one just because of, like, you want fouls and a seven-footer on a beat, and I don't know if they totally want. This is, like, a tease for segment five. I am very curious to see how the Cavs, like, use Mobley at the five and what they ask him to do in that context, because Lopez is kind of, like, the cipher for that. Like, do you want to throw Mobley and have him bang against some of these guys, or, like, deal with some of that over and over again on a night-to-night basis? If it's against like these really, really physical guys, maybe not. You know, I mean, you're playing the Knicks. You want Mobley defending like Mitchell Robinson at the five, or do you want him defending Randall or, you know, Hartenstein or Toppin if the bench guys? Like, who do you want him defending, I think, is a question. And Lopez gives you some optionality. But, like, would I expect Mobley to play the five against, like, Golden State when Draymond's at the five? Yeah. Or if, like, you're playing Milwaukee or you're playing, like, Miami and Bam. Like, I think Mobley and Bam is, like, a reasonable thing, not the in situation not to play Lopez in, right? Because Bam's a little quicker, can dive from the paint. Like, you need some options, and Lopez at least gives you some options.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's a smart point, is just keeping your bigs just out of foul trouble in general by having a guy who can maybe soak it up a little bit. And also, you're not asking Robin Lopez to play 30 minutes a night or anything like that. You're asking him at most to play 10 or 15. And there's very realistic possibility and a very realistic chance that he just doesn't play for the Cavs to start the season, because J.P. Bickerstaff only goes 8 or 9 players deep on his rotation, and he may prioritize other options off the bench. Like, if it's LeVert, Neto, Love, or Okoro, Neto, Love, and then he, like, leans on Dean Wade instead. Like, that's entirely plausible, and Robin Lopez is just a guy who's expected to be ready in certain scenarios, as Chris kind of pointed out.
Yeah, Toronto might be a great, you know, indicator of that, because they're play small. They don't really have a traditional center on that roster that they're going to play. Like, do you want him defending Precious Achiuwa? Like, probably, I would guess no, that you're going to just play Mobley at the five more in that instance. Just two statistical things to note about Lopez if you haven't watched the play a ton. He has never been a strong defensive rebounder, but he's a good offensive one. He did hit the last 2 years. He has not blocked a lot of shots. He did previously. And this is actually three things. He has never fouled a lot, which is something Allen is also really good at. And I suspect that if there's something that is, if you're trying to keep some schematic similarities between your centers, even if they're very different, having bigs who will contest shots but not foul a lot feels like something that feels notable to me, let's say. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
After
absolutely.
The break, let's talk about Evan Mobley at the five and what that might look like. Gotta tell everyone about BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all your pro and college football betting needs and sports info this season. Find all of the latest football developments, game matchup news, and podcasts, including the current slate of games. I mean, there's a Monday night game that you can still get a look at. There's the upcoming NFL slate. I saw it to what, Packers and something, someone really random in London next week, and I hope people enjoyed the Vikings, the English people enjoyed the Vikings and the Saints.
Dude, I did not enjoy that game because I overslept today and did not know Alvin Kamara was out. But go ahead.
That struck. I did not start Kirk Cousins in my fantasy team, and that was a really good decision. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, golf, and the NBA. Because guess what? The NBA is back. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. For instance, Evan Mobley is plus 1,600 Dubin Defensive Player of the Year. The Cavs over-under, meanwhile, is set at 46.5, and that went up after they got Donovan Mitchell. Remember, that's BetOnline. That's where the game starts. All right, last segment.
I went off camera because that ad read was just so good.
I mean, I'm just juiced thinking about not playing Kirk Cousins in fantasy.
The Packers play the Giants, by the way, which maybe for Bill DeFilippo's sake, we see Saquon start at quarterback for them.
Saquon Barkley play right wing back for Manchester City Challenge. Anyway, Evan Mobley. Yes. Cavs are plus 3.6 per 100 with Mobley at the five last year. Interestingly, skewed better offensively than defensively in those looks. Most common look was Garland, LeVert, Okoro, Markkanen, and Mobley. Obviously, can't run that this year because Lowry Markkanen no longer plays with the Cleveland Cavaliers. So, Evan, I hit on this at the end of the last segment. I think the curious part about this to me is how they deploy him in this context in year two. I think the template would be like one of Mitchell or Garland, and I think Mitchell. Andy Bailey has kind of convinced me to go Mitchell, Mobley, and then Garland and Allen just because of the lob thing with Mitchell. And then put as much shooting as you can find with Mobley. Let him do defensive stuff. Let him be... play that zone if you want with him at the top of the key and let him just kind of roam and do Evan Mobley things. But I also suspect that this is going to be one of these things that takes time to figure out. There are things about the Cavs that I think will work right away. But I think the Mobley at the five thing is something they were trying to figure out last year. The change up roster a little bit. I think there's more to figure out there, and I'm curious to see kind of what the first impulses are and what the adaptions are with Mobley at the 5.
I agree with that assessment. I do. And Mobley at the 5 would make sense at the bench units, especially if you don't really want to call on Robin Lopez's number. And let's just say the Cavs deploy a lineup or a bench unit where Donovan Mitchell is the de facto point. Evan Mobley's at the 5. You play Kevin Love and Dean Wade next to him, so you're a little bigger, but like it's some interesting size differences there in shooting, and then you play maybe Hollow Neto alongside him just to have a secondary point guard as well, just to, you know, kind of keep the offense flowing. Or you like bring in Caris LeVert if he's able to be more comfortable off ball as a shooter and a spot up shooter in general. Like, there's certain ways you could go about this, and then obviously you can flip in Mobley for Allen as well if you just want to just go with a more traditional lineup. But like, Mobley is just such a fascinating player, and the statistical bump, like you noted, offense doesn't really surprise me, just because Mobley is just such an interesting player and he's so multifaceted as an offensive threat. And the thing is, though, is he's just so incredibly raw that we don't really know what he truly can be at this point. I don't think, frankly, anyone can tell you what he can be, but there's a lot of creative ways the Cavs can utilize him on offense and in certain sets and scenarios as well. And he could be a guy who initiates the offense at the top of the key, or he acts as an offensive hub and he kind of kicks the ball out to somebody on the perimeter, or he gets it to somebody who's slashing or attacking the basket, whether it's Isaac Okoro or Caris LeVert. The three-point shooting stuff is certainly interesting too. Like, I really think they are going to try and make it happen. I asked JB about this on, I believe, Thursday or Friday at training camp, where I just said, hey, Evan's been shooting three-pointers for like almost 10 minutes now. Do you want that to kind of be part of his game right away, or do you want to ease him into it? And he's just like, no, if Evan is open, we expect him to shoot it when he's out on the perimeter. So if it's a real part of his game, and like he really does provide some gravity, and like he's an honest three-point threat that keeps defenses honest, that kind of allows Cleveland to get a little more creative at the three spot as well, because they don't need a guy who's going to be soaking up a ton of shots. And like a guy who maybe is a perimeter liability like Isaac Okoro on offense could make a bit more sense functionally offensively if you have another guy who's dragging a defender out of the paint, Evan Mobley.
I think the other part of that is like Lamar Stevens would benefit from that too, right?
That's
like
good,
if Lamar,
yeah.
Like if you could build, if Mobley can shoot, and that's like, again, like it's a lot of pressure put on him, but like Lamar becomes like Lamar, Okoro, Mitchell, and like Love or Wade, one of those guys, like you could build some really interesting kind of lineups that kind of cover for each other. The question is like, what does Mobley provide on offense? Someone can fact check me in this. I was looking up the lineups with Mobley and Love on Cleaning the Glass, and I don't think they ran it, their data, unless I like put something in wrong or there's a glitch or whatever, does indicates that like Mobley, when he was at the 5, did not play with Love like as a 4, which like, again, that could, the last year's, there's so much about last year's Cavs season that was weird, right? There's so much about it that was injury, dealing with injuries, dealing with guys being out, you know, Kevin Love had COVID, other guys had COVID, like you had all these issues, you know. But was that also something where, you know, Mobley and Al, like they Mobley and Love, they didn't like the fit for whatever reason, or they were like wanted to support Mobley as a rookie with certain defensive personnel? And does that change this year? Because I think like if Mobley is not a willing shooter, it doesn't work out in the way I think, you know, that is optimal for them, maybe like this gets to a place where it's okay, like, you know what, we'll tinker around with this more. We'll play Love and allow him to space, and that would be, I think, helpful to Evan Mobley.
It'd be fun.
So the issue was, when I pulled this up, in these lineups, Love is listed as the center, Mobley is listed as the power forward. But like, I would flip those. So like, those were -3.1 per 100 possessions. Scored 109.6, gave up 112.8. So average defense, below average offense. The most common one was Rondo, Stevens, Osman, Mobley, Love, 97 possessions, +15.7. So like, basically like 100 possessions out of the nearly 1500 was, it's like not very common. There's no like rhythm to so much of this. And that, I think for me, at least, Evan, that makes it hard to, with some of this, and I think maybe mostly Mobley at the 5, even though I suspect he's so good that he's going to be good at it, and there's things about his game that I think will make him very good at it, what the lineups look like and what the rhythm of those lineups looks like, it's hard for me to kind of guess at right now, because we just had, like, the way it looked last year was so mismatched and so all over the place.
Yeah, it was mismatched and all over the place, and I think Evan Mobley's rookie season did accelerate the Cavs and kind of where they just stood in the grand scheme of the NBA. I think a lot of, like, Darius Garland clicking and Jared Allen just kind of clicking too, obviously played their parts as well. And I think year two, Mobley really could, I don't want to put too much pressure on him, but I don't think it matters because I'm a podcaster and I don't work for the team or anything, but I don't want to say, like, yes, what we get from Evan Mobley right out the gates is going to set the tone for the Cavs this season. I think it's going to be Garland and Mitchell that does that, but over the longevity and the long run of this season, like, what you get out of Evan Mobley as a player offensively, like, certainly does set up a lot of interesting lineups and scenarios for the Cavs, because let's go back to that lineup I mentioned where you have Donovan Mitchell at the one, let's just say Isaac Okoro at the two, then you have Wade at the three, Love at the four, Mobley at the five. That is technically a four-out lineup if you put LeVert at the two. And LeVert, again, is comfortable spotting up and shooting off ball. Like, that's a five-out lineup. Like, that's a really interesting kind of wrinkle the Cavs can run out, because that, like, keeps defenses super, like, chaotic and unable to kind of protect the paint. And the Cavs become a bit more dynamic as a team as well, because a lot of what they did offensively was predicated on building a presence in the paint and just kind of overwhelming teams on the interior. And then sometimes trickling out to the three-point line as well, and J.B. Bickerstaff calls it a fetishization of the three overall. But there is some merit to the fact that the Cavs can make their lives a heck of a lot easier if they are shooting more threes. And let's just say Evan Mobley just becomes a bit more of a plus shooter. Like, I don't expect, like, a dramatic leap from him, but, like, he's going to become a better shooter this season. And, like, you see some more of those playmaking chops. Like, it's going to be fascinating to see what he's at the end of this year, because then a lot of, like, really strong momentum will be carrying with him into year three, when, like, everything is really going to start clicking for him, and, like, we'll have a pretty clear idea of what he could reach potential-wise as a player.
Him at the five, I think you just said at this end, is part of where he's going. There's world.
He got bigger this offseason. Like, he got bigger to play the five.
He's a 7-footer in the NBA. He's going to play some five. Him and Allen fit that. I think that's the question. It's about how good can he be as a center, and where does that lead you? Where does that open up? What does that mean for other people? And, like, even beyond the shooting, I think even if Mobley shows growth as, like, a passer out of the elbow, you know, in different spots, and, like, that, and there's cutting, and there's guys dashing in, and you support him with the right ball handlers to kind of make it all flow, I think there's a lot of that could work there. Like, we obviously won't get to see it until February at the early, like, let's say, until he comes back, or whenever Ricky Rubio Dubs comes back. But, like, starting point of, like, Mitchell, Rubio, and Mobley sounds really interesting to me, because you could do Mitchell off ball stuff, you could do Mitchell slashing stuff, you can do Rubio kind of orchestrating stuff, and Mobley diving around them. Rubio can be that bigger play, bigger guard that kind of has that. Obviously, that's what he does defensively, right? Like, mm-hmm. I think there's, like, all these different looks that I kind of can't wait to see. And again, like, I'm very curious. I think we might see this opening night is the thing. I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, Scottie Barnes is, like, an interesting, like, indicator of matchup for, like, what Mobley is too. Like, I don't know, like, those two going at each other is going to be really fun to watch, because, like, Barnes is a 3-5 type player. Like, Mobley kind of is in a similar vein where, like, you can't peg him positionally, but, like, he just does so many interesting things that, like, it's going to be a fun, mild-mannered dudes having a rivalry situation for years to come.
I think Mobley at the five is going to be something that, like, shifts a series at some point, and I can't wait to see what that looks like.
Yeah, he could be a bit of an X factor at that spot, and I don't know. Let's just say next year, like, Kevin Love comes back on, like, a more reasonable contract just for the vibes and such, but, like, you're phasing him out of the rotation just because of age, and maybe Isaiah Mobley is in there. But, like, if you really are able to lean on, and we talked about this a bit, like, they had Lauri Markkanen just with his length kind of frustrating opposing offenses just a little bit at the three, and then that made life a little bit easier for Mobley and Allen on defense, but they still had to try really hard when they had to share the floor with Markkanen, Sexton, and Garland. But now that you have Mitchell and Garland out there, like, you're asking a lot out of Mobley and Allen on the, at least on the interior defensively, like, how much are you going to be able to lean on him? And I think the Cavs, I guess, just feel comfortable in saying, like, yeah, like, we're going to put pressure on Evan Mobley, and we know he can handle it, and then some.
That's what you do with the superstar players. That's what you do with the guys that are that very well could be the best players on your team in short order. Evan, I'm going to make a final prediction at the end of the show. Player. Evan Mobley is going to be an all-star this year. Not a super hot take, but I'm going to have a column I do every year for this where it's like a bunch of thoughts I have, predictions. One of to spoil that, one of the things I'm going to say is the Cavs will have three all-stars again. It's going to be Mitchell, Garland, and Mobley.
I agree with that, and I think Allen will be a close snub just because there's a lot of big men in the East that are good.
Yes, okay. That is going to be it for today's show. I want to thank you again for making Lockdown Cavs your first listen every day. Remember, this episode was produced by Jake Stevens. Jake's the best. Support him and all the music he does. We're going to be back on Tuesday to preview the Cavs win group, perhaps the most uncertain group on the Cavs roster heading into the season. Evan, is that fair? Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think it's 100% a fair assessment. Like, I'm excited to sink my teeth back into this team, and I think being back around everything really just get the juices flowing again, and we got some good momentum heading into the season opener, which by the time this episode posts is 16 days away.
Got a preseason game this week. Howdy. I know. Lord. Wild stuff. All right. Hope you tuned in for that preview of the Wings and all of our episodes this week. If you want a great second listen, now check out Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Josh Lloyd hosts the number one daily fantasy basketball show on the planet. That's free and available wherever you get your podcast. Look, check out Locked On Browns as well. And look, it's the Guardians are about to be in the playoffs. Go check out Locked On Guardians. They're going to host some playoff games this weekend. Jeff Ellis does a great job on that podcast. Go check that out. I'm Chris. That's Evan. Everyone be well. We'll talk to you tomorrow.